All right, ready to see your everyday Microsoft Teams app in a whole new light? We're diving deep into ransomware today, but not the typical kind that just locks up your files. This is about how attackers are actually using Teams, to sneak into entire organizations. You guys sent in a ton of articles and research all about this rise in ransomware attacks, and guess what? They all start in Microsoft Teams. So our mission today is pretty clear: figure out how these attacks actually work, why Teams is becoming such a huge target, and most importantly, what you can actually do to protect yourself.
It's really interesting, you know, how these attacks exploit human psychology, not just technical vulnerabilities. Cybersecurity, it isn't just about firewalls and software, it's about understanding how attackers manipulate people, you know?
Okay, so let's talk about that human element then. Why is Teams such a prime target in the first place? It's not the only collaboration tool out there.
True, but Teams has a few things that make it really attractive to these attackers. First, just the size of its user base. It's huge, so that makes it a very tempting target. Second, Teams' default settings. They often allow communication from outside your organization, which makes it way easier to impersonate someone legit. And last, Teams is deeply integrated with Office 365. So it's like multiple entry points for attackers. If they can compromise Teams, they potentially get access to a whole bunch of tools and data. It's like a key to the castle, basically.
So they're exploiting the open nature of the platform, how it connects to everything else. That's pretty clever, but also kind of scary. So how does this attack actually play out? One article mentioned email bombing, which sounds intense.
Imagine this. Your inbox suddenly flooded with thousands of spam emails. It's not just to annoy you, although it definitely does that. The real goal: overwhelm your system, disrupt your normal flow, make you panic, make you want to seek help, which is exactly what these attackers are hoping for.
Oh, wow. They create the problem and then offer the solution. That's sneaky, but wouldn't people see through that?
You'd think so, right? But these guys are masters of impersonation. They'll create fake profiles on Teams, use names like Help Desk Manager to make it seem legit. Then they contact the victim, pretend to help with that email problem they created. They play on urgency, people just wanting things to work again.
But wouldn't people double check with their actual IT department before giving some random person access to their system?
Ideally, yeah. But these attackers are good at what they do. They know how to exploit people's trust, their desire for a quick fix. They might even use, like, social engineering techniques, gather info about the victim from their public profiles to make their impersonation even more convincing.
So it's kind of like a digital con artist. I'm starting to see how people fall for this.
Exactly. And cybersecurity firms are noticing patterns, suggesting organized campaigns behind these attacks. Two specific ones, DSAC5143 and STACY5777. They really show the level of sophistication we're dealing with.
Okay, let's unpack those. I always love a good detective story. What makes these campaigns so sophisticated?
Well, STACY5143, they used a classic Trojan horse approach. They hid malicious code inside JAR files. Think of those as containers for Java programs. Seems harmless. Once downloaded and open, they unleash the attack, executing commands, letting the attackers get remote access and control. They even use this tool called RPivot. It's often used for legitimate penetration testing. But here, they used it to create a backdoor, infiltrate the network further.
Wait, hold on. So they're taking tools designed for good and using them for bad? That's unsettling. What about STACK-777? How do they work?
That one was even bolder. They actually tricked victims into installing Microsoft Quick Assist, a legitimate tool meant for remote support. But in the wrong hands, it's incredibly dangerous. They use Quick Assist to take control of the victim's keyboard directly, allow them to deploy malware hosted on Azure Blob Storage. They even tried to deploy Black Basta ransomware, known for spreading quickly, encrypting entire networks.
So it's not just about stealing data anymore. They're holding entire systems hostage. This is getting intense. So we're seeing attackers using, like, both stealth and brute force to compromise Teams. Knowing these groups are out there is scary, but it highlights something important. Security isn't just about the tech, it's about understanding how these attackers think. So what can we do to outsmart them?
That's the question. And the good news is, there are absolutely things you can do to protect yourself, and you don't need to be a cybersecurity expert.
All right, I'm all ears, let's hear it. How do we fight back?
First line of defense, adjust your team settings. Restrict external communication as much as you can. Disable that ability for external domains to start calls or chats, unless you absolutely have to have it.
Okay, so lock down the castle, Beats. Makes sense. What else?
User education is huge. It's about creating a culture of security awareness within organizations.
Okay, I like that. A culture of security awareness. But how do we actually create that? What are some practical tips for educating employees?
Well, first, The training has to be engaging and relevant. No one wants to sit through a boring PowerPoint.
Oh, absolutely. Totally agree. Make it fun, interactive, maybe even gamify it.
Exactly. The more engaging, the more likely people are to remember the information. It's also important to, you know, personalize the training to different roles and responsibilities within the organization.
So like a sales team might need different training than, say, the IT department?
Precisely. The type of information, the level of detail, it should be tailored to the specific risks each role faces.
Right, that makes sense. And I imagine regular refreshers are important too, right? Because the threat landscape is always changing.
Absolutely. Cybersecurity awareness, it's not a one-time thing. It's an ongoing process. Regular training sessions, simulated phishing campaigns, even internal newsletters can help keep security top of mind.
So it's about creating a culture where everyone feels empowered to identify and report potential threats.
Exactly. When employees feel like they're a part of the solution, they're more likely to be vigilant and proactive.
I like that. It shifts the perspective from, like, security is IT's problem to security is everyone's responsibility.
Precisely. And that shift in mindset can make a huge difference in an organization's overall security.
Okay, so we've got user education, locking down team settings, fostering this culture of security awareness. But is there anything else organizations can do to, you know, bolster their defenses against these teams-based attacks?
There are a few other best practices that can really reduce risk. One is strong password policies. Enforce the use of complex passwords, multi-factor authentication, and regular password changes.
So no more password 123?
Definitely not. Strong passwords are key. Another important step is to regularly review and update teams' permissions. Make sure only authorized users have access to sensitive information and limit that external communication as much as possible.
Lock down those settings. Make sure only the right people have the keys. Got it. Anything else?
Finally, it's crucial to have a solid incident response plan in place. In case of a breach, you need to know how to contain the damage, recover data, notify the right people.
So hope for the best, but prepare for the worst.
Exactly. Having a well-rehearsed incident response plan can be the difference between a minor inconvenience and a major catastrophe.
Okay, so that's a sobering thought, but also a necessary one. It sounds like there's a lot to think about when it comes to securing teams, protecting against these attacks that are always changing.
There is. But the good news is, by implementing these best practices and staying informed about the latest threats, organizations can really reduce their risk.
We've talked a lot about the techie side of things, but let's circle back to that human element for a sec. Even with the best tech in place, a well-crafted phishing email can still slip through.
That's right. The human element, it's often the weakest link in any security system. That's why user education is so critical.
So it's not just about, like, installing antivirus and calling it a day. We need to give people the knowledge and skills to recognize and avoid these attacks. But how do we make sure that training actually sticks?
Well, think about it. If you tell someone don't click on suspicious links, that's pretty vague, right? But if you show them examples of real phishing emails, break down why they're dangerous, they're much more likely to remember.
That's a really good point. So make the training as realistic as possible. Maybe even use examples of real attacks that have happened.
Exactly. And emphasize the potential consequences of falling for these things. We need people to understand that clicking the wrong link, it could have serious consequences, not just for themselves, but for their whole organization.
Right. It's not just about losing some data. It could disrupt operations, damage reputation, even lead to financial losses.
Exactly. So the more we can connect cybersecurity training to real-world impacts, the more likely it is to resonate with people.
That's great advice. But beyond training, how do we create a culture where everyone feels empowered to take security seriously, I mean?
I think one key is to make it clear. Reporting potential threats isn't a sign of weakness or incompetence.
So even if someone clicks a phishing link by accident, they should feel comfortable reporting it.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
The sooner it's reported, the sooner we can contain the damage, prevent further harm.
So it's about creating a culture where mistakes are seen as learning opportunities, not something to be punished.
Exactly. When people feel safe reporting those mistakes, we can all work together to create a stronger security posture.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground. The technical details of these teams-based attacks, the importance of user education, and the need for a culture of security awareness. But what about the groups behind these attacks? We talked about FIN7 earlier. What's their deal?
FIN7 is believed to be a highly organized cyber criminal group focused on financial gain. They're known for sophisticated tactics, like spear phishing campaigns, malware development, even money laundering.
So they're not just some random hackers in a basement.
Definitely not. We're talking a professional operation. Clear hierarchy, specialized skills, global reach.
That's both impressive and terrifying.
I agree. And what's interesting about FIN7 is their willingness to adapt, to innovate. They're constantly evolving their tactics, making them a tough adversary to combat.
So they're always one step ahead.
It often seems that way. They're early adopters of new tech and techniques. In fact, they were one of the first groups to use the Carbonac malware, allowed them to steal millions from banks worldwide.
Wow, that's like straight out of a heist movie.
It really is. And while the exact link between FIN7 and these teams-based attacks is still being investigated, it shows a key point. The cybercrime world is interconnected and constantly evolving.
So even though we're not 100% sure it's them, it's safe to assume they're always up to something.
That's a safe assumption. And it underscores the importance of staying informed about the latest threats and trends in cybersecurity. We can't afford to be complacent.
Okay, message received. Stay vigilant, stay informed. So we've talked about FIN7. Are there any other groups out there we should be aware of?
There are tons of cyber criminal groups operating around the world. New ones popping up all the time. Some other prominent names, APT28, Lazarus Group, and Evil Corp.
Whoa, those names sound like they're straight out of a comic book.
I know, right? Sounds almost surreal. But these groups are very real, and they pose a serious threat to individuals and organizations.
So how do we even keep up with all these different groups and their tactics? It feels like an impossible task.
It can be overwhelming, but there are resources to help you stay informed. Organizations like the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, or CISA, they provide regular updates on emerging threats and vulnerabilities.
So keep an eye on CISA for the latest intel. Got it. Anything else?
There are also a bunch of private cybersecurity firms that publish threat intelligence reports and offer training programs.
So do your research, find reputable sources, stay up to date on the latest threats. This is starting to feel like a full-time job.
It can definitely feel that way. But remember, awareness is your best defense. The more you know about these attacks, the better equipped you are to protect yourself and your organization.
That's a great point. Okay, we've covered a lot of ground, from the technical stuff to user education to the role of threat intelligence. But before we wrap up, let's look ahead. What trends are you seeing that could impact team security in the future?
One trend that's really worrying me, it's this rise of ransomware as a service.
Ransomware as a service? What even is that?
Think of it kind of like a subscription model for cybercrime.
So like anyone, even if you're not a tech whiz, you can just buy into the ransomware game.
Yeah, basically. It lowers the bar for wannabe attackers, meaning more attacks more often.
Okay, that's definitely not good. Anything else on the horizon we should be worried about?
Another thing is the increasing use of AI, artificial intelligence, by these attackers.
So the attackers are getting smarter too. This is like, we're living in a sci-fi movie now.
It's kind of crazy, right? AI can automate things like creating phishing emails or even impersonating real users in Teams chats. Makes the attacks more efficient, more targeted, harder to spot.
All right, I'm officially worried. But we can't just give up, right? What can we do to stay ahead of all this?
One key thing is to adopt what's called a zero trust security model. Basically, you assume no user, no device can be trusted by default. And you verify every single access attempt.
So trust no one. Seems a little cynical, but I guess in cybersecurity, it kind of makes sense.
It's not about being cynical. It's about being proactive.
Yeah.
Zero trust, it's layers of security, continuous monitoring. Assuming a breach could happen at any time, you're minimizing the damage even if an attacker gets in.
That makes sense. So constant vigilance, verify everything, never let your guard down. Got it. Any other final words of wisdom for our listeners today?
I think the biggest takeaway is this. Cybersecurity, it's a journey, not a destination. It's constantly learning, adapting, improving.
Well said. So wrapping up our deep dive today, we've learned how attackers are using teams to launch ransomware, the tactics they use, how vital user education is, and the need to stay ahead of those ever-evolving threats.
Exactly. Remember, awareness is your best weapon. By understanding the risks and taking the right steps, you can drastically reduce your chances of becoming a victim.
Great advice. And that's a wrap for our deep dive into the world of ransomware and Microsoft Teams. Hope you found it informative, empowering, and maybe even a little bit inspiring to boost your own security. Until next time, stay safe out there.